You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in, joining the podcast right now, giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk. First and foremost, hope everybody has been enjoying their summer right now, man. It's been a hot one, but I hope everybody's been having a good time getting out, enjoying the weather, also protecting yourself, of course. Wearing your mask and sanitizing. Man, a lot has transpired since you last heard my voice. Since we were last together, a lot has gone on in the sports world, man. So we're just going to jump in, dive into the latest, hottest news and updates, man, that's going on in the world of sports. So first and foremost, man, Giannis has led the Milwaukee Bucks to their first NBA championship in 50 years, people. Yes, that's right. The Bucks won the NBA title this year. First NBA championship since 1971 with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson. The Bucks won Game 6, 105-98. Giannis won the NBA Finals MVP. So let's take a look about how this all transpired. Let's take a deeper dive into how everybody performed in this game. So Giannis, man, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. He's the first player ever to do that in a finals game, NBA finals game. He also went 17 of 19 from the free throw line, which is 89%. And this is after shooting 55% during the entire postseason. Chris Middleton followed that up with 17 points. Jrue Holiday had 12 points and 11 assists. Bobby Portis, 16 big points off the bench for the Bucks. The Bucks actually shot 45% from the field, 86% from the line, and they out-rebounded the Suns 53-37. On the other hand, the Suns, Chris Paul was the leading scorer for them, finished the game with 26 points and 5 assists. Devin Booker, 19 points. Jay Crowder, 15 points. DeAndre Ayton, only 12 points. The Suns shot 44% from the field in this game, 24% from three, which is terrible shooting from the three-point line for them. 84% from the line, and they had 15 turnovers. And we all know how those turnovers have plagued them these last four games, man. They just could not get it together. Chris Paul had some pretty bad turnovers over the course of those last few games. Devin Booker turned the ball over, allowing Jrue Holiday to rip him in critical situations, in critical moments of these finals games in this series. Now, hats off, man, to the Bucks, man. After the game, Giannis said, "People told me I couldn't make free throws, and I made them tonight, and I'm a freaking champion." And he's right about that, man. We've all given Giannis, obviously, a lot of negative feedback in regards to his free throw shooting, first and foremost, because he takes about 12 seconds before he's shooting it. So everybody obviously has a problem with that because it's longer than the normal 10 seconds that you're allowed to shoot. And then, you know, obviously he has struggled from the free throw line. We've known to see him struggle from the free throw line. But in that closeout game on their home court, man, 17-19 from the line. Wow. You know, way to step up and not be afraid of the moment because they put him on the line a lot. And he was able to knock him down nearly 100% from that line. Chris Middleton, man, he said, "For the city, I'm sure it means everything. They've seen the work we put in over the years to get to this point." Now, the Bucks became the 5th team to win the finals after being down 0-2 and the first team to do it by winning the next 4 straight games since the Miami Heat did it against Dallas in 2006. There were 17,397 fans in Pfizer Forum and 65,000 fans outside in the Deer District that watched and cheered as history was being made. With all this drama surrounding Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, man, the state of Wisconsin, they needed this one. They really needed this. Hats off to head coach Mike Budenholzer and the team for continuing to fight, showing grit and persevering through the challenges that they face. You know, this was not an easy road for them. And we all know, you know, kind of what's transpired throughout this year. You know, this is the first year, you know, outside of that bubble atmosphere that we had last year. But man, just the way that the Bucks home crowd was just, they were so active, they were so alive. Hats off to them, man. The fans really, really made this atmosphere for the Milwaukee Bucks in this closeout game a memorable atmosphere, man. They were up, they were loud, they made it difficult for the Suns to get in rhythm. And that's what you want, man, when you're in the NBA Finals. You want your fans to be at full strength. You want them to be energetic. You want them to be enthusiastic, man, to help you bring that W home. Well, keep it home in this instance. Yeah, man, it was an amazing scene, you know, to see that and all those fans out there in the Deer District. Now, mind you, I'm not, I was a little, you know, kind of skeptical of it just because nobody was wearing masks out there at all. So I was like, I don't know if I would have ever been out there. If that was Atlanta and they would have done something like that, I probably wouldn't have been out there in that atmosphere just because literally nobody was wearing masks out there. And if I did go out there, I'd probably be way off to the side somewhere just to say I was out there while wearing my mask. But man, they showed up, they showed out, and the Bucks were able to bring it home. So let's just move forward, man, and let's talk about what this championship says about Giannis and his legacy. So Giannis put together a legendary performance, in my opinion, that punched his ticket to the Hall of Fame. Yes, you may call me crazy. I think what he did was enough to be able to at least get him in that Hall of Fame discussion, man. I don't think he could have done this any better. You know, let's just look at each game in this series. Game one, he had 20 points and 17 rebounds. He bounced back in game two, 42 points, 12 rebounds. Game three, when they're down 0-2, 41 points, 13 rebounds. Game four, 26 points, 14 rebounds to tie the series up. Game five, 32 points, 9 rebounds. And game six, the closeout game at home, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. When it's all said and done, man, Giannis is going to go down as one of the top, I think, top five big men in NBA history. If he dominates the way that he dominated in this series, the way that we know that he could dominate, when he realizes that he's the biggest thing on the court and that there's nobody on the court that can stop him at any given moment, he is standing in the way of his greatness. Once he continues to just play like that, and he finally realized it in this series, man, we saw him emerge really throughout this playoffs. And he just elevated in the finals, man, to a whole nother level. We saw him stop taking three-point shots, stop taking those outside shots, and continue to attack. There's nobody that can stop this man. Giannis has accomplished everything at the age of 26, literally everything in NBA. I mean, he's a two-time regular season MVP, NBA Finals MVP, and an NBA champion. I mean, what more can you ask for at 26 years old? And now all of the Antetokounmpo brothers have an NBA Finals ring. They have a championship, all three, which is amazing, man. That's an awesome thing to see. And let's just take a look at his journey over the last couple of years, man. The Bucks had the best record in the NBA in 2018-2019 season, but they blew that 2-0 lead to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. We all know what happened there. The Raptors made that adjustment. Started to clog up the paint. Giannis couldn't do anything else. They didn't really have any shooters when the ball was kicked out. So there was really nothing that they could do for being a threat from the outside. So they were very one-dimensional, and the Raptors made the adjustment and were able to overcome that 2-0 deficit. Then they came back. They had the best record in the NBA last season, but they couldn't bounce back after the season was stopped due to that pandemic. They were eliminated by the Miami Heat in the second round. This year, Giannis hyperextended his knee in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Hawks. And this is an injury that could have ended, you know, obviously ended his season. And, you know, maybe he feared even his career. But he was able to bounce back. Shockingly, even just a little over a week after, we didn't even think this man was going to play in game one or game two, let alone maybe even play in the series. We had no idea he was even going to play. But shout out to the doctors. He had treatment around the clock. He stuck with it. And he was able to battle his way back. Now, Giannis could have left. You know, the Bucks had decided to stay. He could have left the Bucks, but he decided to stay. And he signed that Supermax deal. The Bucks, you know, they obviously ended up trading for Jrue Holiday, which was a very important move to help, you know, Giannis to give that defensive presence alongside PJ Tucker. And what makes this finals so special for Giannis is the fact that instead of going and joining their super team, man, he stayed and he got it done where he was drafted at 21 years old. Came into the league, you know, just to see the growth that he's had, just to see how he's matured, how he's embraced the city, how they've embraced him, how he's overcome these odds, these obstacles. It's so much more when you stay where you were drafted and you get the job done. Everybody had speculation about him leaving, and you know he's not gonna stay in Milwaukee. He's gonna go join LeBron and the Lakers, or he's gonna go join the Warriors. This and this. Giannis is not that guy. He was like, no, I want to stay. I want to compete against the best. And that's what he did. He stayed and he competed against the best. So there's nothing negative anybody has to say about him anymore, or they can say, because he's accomplished the goal that he set out to accomplish. So if you ask me, man, Giannis will definitely be in the Hall of Fame, and this is going to be one of the, obviously the first thing that jumps out to people, being the first player to put up 50 points like this in the closeout game like this at home in the finals, man. The first player to ever do that. That's 50 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. To be the first to do that in the NBA Finals, come on, man. And you could just see the passion on his face. When that clock finally went down to zero, he went over, he sat down in the chair, and you could just see the emotion on his face as the tears fell. And we all know that, you know, he's had a long road. You know, he's still young. That's the thing about it. He's still young. He still has at least 2, maybe 3 more rings that he can win. Maybe even more than that. Who knows if they continue to build around him and they put more talent around him, who knows how many he can win, you know? But he'll definitely be back. You know, he's already focused on what he could do to get back, you know? You saw that mentality. And I don't know if y'all saw this, man, but the day after, literally goes in the drive-thru, orders a 50-piece nugget meal from Chick-fil-A, man. if that wasn't the funniest thing that I've probably seen all week, man. That Giannis is hilarious. Orders a 50-piece nugget in Chick-fil-A right after scoring 50, putting up a 50-piece nugget combo on the Phoenix Suns, man. Hats off to Giannis. Shout out to him, man. Congratulations. And hey, we look forward to next season, man, and what's gonna happen. And on the other hand, man, CP3, you know, it sucks for him, man, because this here we are again, you know, having a lead, you know, this time having a 2-0 lead and not being able to get it done. And you know, obviously there's speculation right now about him and where he'll end up, and a lot of that is leaning towards joining the Lakers in LA, you know, with his friend LeBron James, which is could more than likely happen, you know. I think that right now the Suns definitely need to go after a younger point guard, you know, because at Chris Paul's age, there's only so much that he has left in the tank. And I think that if they could go after and get a younger point guard, man, and replace Chris Paul, they'll be back in the mix, man. You know, keep that solid core that they have. They'll be back, you know, competing, obviously. And you can see that emotion on Monty Williams' face because he wanted it so bad. But the thing about it was, There were adjustments that needed to be made, and, you know, they didn't make those adjustments when they needed to. It was a little too little too late to make the adjustments. You know, there were times where you thought maybe Monty Williams would, you know, when the Bucks were going on the run, maybe he would have called a timeout, but he didn't. He elected to continue to let them continue to play, you know, instead of kind of stopping at the bleeding. So, you know, obviously there were some coaching decisions, and then a lot of it, you know, boils down to Chris Paul and, you know, those turnovers that he had, and he didn't show up when he needed to show up. And a lot of people are going to hold that over his head, obviously, when he finally was able to get over the hump, get into the big moment and get into, you know, in these finals. But he was still not able to get it done with the 2-0 lead. So, we'll be talking about this for a while. But I think that Chris Paul's days in Phoenix are probably numbered, and he'll probably end up going to look to join the Lakers. So we'll continue to watch it going forward, man. And as I know something, I promise y'all, I will update y'all as always, man. But hey, let's move on to our next topic here, and let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers, many people didn't know this, and you know, I didn't know this. Actually, this is kind of just story that just kind of broke the other day, that Aaron Rodgers actually turned down a 2-year extension offer from the Green Bay Packers that would have made him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL and player in football. Which is, you know, this isn't shocking. Obviously it's shocking to many people that you turn down the money, but let's just look at more, and then we'll expound, you know, even more on that. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play football for the Green Bay Packers anymore, you know, due to these ongoing issues that he's been having with the general manager, you know, upper management. This has lasted over the course of some years. You know, he didn't show up to the voluntary OTAs for the first time in his career. The issue is simply not about money. It's way deeper than that. So as you can see, if he's willing to turn down an offer that would have made him the highest paid player in football, it's clearly not about the money. And there's no amount of money, as you can see, that you could throw at him that would make him change his mind. You know, and that's really a slap in the face. You know, if you're looking at what the Green Bay Packers organization is doing, obviously there's something more than that. And they felt like that they could buy him out and buy his happiness, which Aaron Rodgers is sticking to his stance. You know, he hasn't budged. He's willing to turn down the money. He's obviously willing to miss the time. And he doesn't want to play. You know, he's out there traveling and kicking it with his wife and with his family. And I think his wife or his fiance or one or two. I think it's his wife. I can't remember. Either way, he's out there having a good time, playing golf with Tom Brady, throwing footballs on the golf course, not even thinking about Green Bay, just watching him struggle and claw and scratch and reach and all of the above. Just hoping and praying that Aaron Rodgers will come back. Just hoping and praying that, you know, he'll pull up and be suited up, ready to go. But I have news for you. It's not going to happen. You know, he's already been reportedly having numerous issues with Brian Gutekunst. He's been on the record saying that, quote, it's just kind of about a philosophy and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. So Rodgers has obviously felt disrespected and has zero intention of being a part of this organization or being in a Packers uniform this season. Rodgers, who's also a part owner of the Bucks, he actually made a tweet congratulating the general manager by name and how they treated their star player, Giannis. So if that doesn't give you another indication, what else will? He's already highlighted, you know what, hey, I like how y'all are treating your star player, how you show appreciation to him, how you're putting him first, how you value what he values, how you've been able to build around him, make adjustments, really listen to him. Pay attention, people, because these are the things that he's alluding to that has not been going on in Green Bay for him. So, again, it's so much more than what we think. And whatever it is, I think at the end of the day, it's about respect, and he's trying to teach them a lesson. And this is a hard lesson to learn, because right now it's gone on for years, and now it's reached its boiling point, all the way to the point where Aaron doesn't even want to play for them anymore. And it looks like he's willing to be fined, willing to miss games until he's traded, until he's a free agent, whatever. Is he going to be willing to sit out an entire year and come back as a free agent and join another team like the Denver Broncos, who people have been speculating that he'll eventually end up where he'll end up? I think it's possible, man. I think it's very possible that he sits out the year. Because there's nothing that you could tell me that they're going to do from now until next week, when their training camp actually is set to begin Wednesday, July 28th. And the players will start to report on July the 27th, on Tuesday. And Rodgers is not going to be there. And if he does show up there, it's probably going to be in a shirt that says, "You miss me yet?" Just to be petty. It's sitting in the parking lot. Like, just to be petty, he probably show up in a shirt that says that, and just sit there and bring all the attention, and then he'll leave. And that'll be it. And it blows my mind how a lot of these analysts and everybody's out here talking about, you know what? Oh, Rodgers is just bluffing. He'll be back playing for the Packers because he knows this is his best chance to win a Super Bowl. Does he know that? Does he really know that? Are you sure that he knows that? Because obviously he doesn't seem to believe that. He does not seem to believe that this is his best chance to get a Super Bowl. Because if he did, he'd be there. He would have said that he was already coming out and said that he'll be there. They would have squashed whatever this is that they have going on. No, he's not bluffing. He's not playing around. He's not coming back. There's literally nothing that I can see that Green Bay is going to do 6 days from now that's going to just all of a sudden make Aaron Rodgers change his mind and say, you know what, guys? Oh, I was just a little upset. I'll come, show up, man, and we'll give this thing another go. Absolutely not. I do not see it happening. I don't see it happening. It would be a miracle. But again, I do not believe it's going to happen. Let's move on. So let's talk college football here. So some news has just broke in regards to the SEC and two teams that are looking to potentially join the SEC conference this coming up. Well, not this year, but in the future. So Texas and Oklahoma have actually reached out to the SEC about joining a conference. So what does this mean for the Big 12? So a secret source is saying that an announcement could come within a couple of weeks of whether or not it is approved for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC. Now, the Big 12 athletic directors and administrators are meeting Thursday evening to discuss this possibility and potential transition from the Big 12 to the SEC. Now, at the SEC media days on Wednesday, the Texas A&M athletic director, Ross Bjork, said that they will be diligent in their approach to protect Texas A&M. Ross actually stated, "We want to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. There's a reason why we left the Big 12, to be standalone, to have our own identity." Now, Texas A&M and Mizzou actually left the Big 12 in 2012. Now, according to the SEC bylaws, in order for this to work, 11 out of 14 schools must vote in favor of both of these schools joining in order for an invitation to be extended. Now, if Texas and Oklahoma do leave the Big 12, I think that this could be the beginning of the end of that conference. We all saw what happened with the Big East, and they don't even exist anymore. I think if you have two powerhouses like Texas and Oklahoma leaving the conference, that's going to obviously open up the door for schools to want to go join other conferences. And then it was mentioned before that you might have three power conferences instead of a Power Five conference. You could ultimately impact other conferences in we could end up with the SEC, a Big 12, and a Pac, SEC, a Big 10, and maybe a Pac 12 or left. Who knows? But right now, the way that this transition is going and the way that things have been, the talks have been heating up, obviously Texas and Oklahoma are looking at the SEC and seeing that, hey, you know, looking at the amount of revenue the SEC is bringing in, the talent level that's there, an opportunity for their players to get more exposure and to play a higher level of competition. And at the end of the day, I think it's obviously all about money. When you're looking at how much that revenue the SEC generates compared to any other conference, that opportunity to become a part of it, anybody would jump at that opportunity. And to say, oh, we get to play Alabama and LSU and Georgia and, you know, the best of the best in this conference each and every year. And if we're able to shine, we could obviously give ourselves a better shot to get into a playoff, X, Y, and Z. I say, hey, look, if y'all want to join, come on down. Alabama will be more than happy to see either one of y'all on the schedule. It doesn't even matter. Whatever they decide to do, we're cool with it. Bring it on. Roll Tide all day. We're chilling. Put whoever you want in front of us, man. Honestly, like, we live for this. We live for these moments, man. Alabama's not scared of anybody. I had somebody mention that before. I overheard it being talked about that Alabama doesn't want this to happen. They definitely don't want this to happen. Alabama doesn't care. We stay ready for whatever. Don't ever get that twisted about my tie. All right. But now, the interesting thing about this here, people, is there is a stipulation. Now, if both of these teams join the SEC, it would actually break a gentleman's agreement between the SEC schools that gives conference members absolute veto power over the addition of another school from their state. This is interesting. So you've already heard from me before in regards to the athletic director for Texas A&M saying that, hey, we're going to protect Texas A&M at all costs. They obviously want to be the only state from Texas, like you mentioned, in the SEC. They don't want Texas to become a part of the SEC. They want to stand alone. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out discussion. This is going to be tough, and Texas A&M is going to make this tough to happen, not for Oklahoma, but for Texas. So we're going to have to continue to pay attention to this, man, because if they're really, really serious about this, which I think they are, they're going to fight this until the end. You know, obviously, if the 11 out of the 14 schools vote for it, I don't think there's really anything that they could do, but they'll probably could just continue to try to fight it and fight it and fight it as long as they can. But what they need to do is probably get on the phone with all the other athletic directors and plead their case. That's their only hope right now, because obviously with the SEC seeing an opportunity to bring in even more revenue, I don't see them turning that down. But hey, look, to be honest with you, if we bring in Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, we could kick out Missouri and Kentucky. I mean, let's just kick out people that haven't even, you know, really even done too much. I mean, we could kick them out. No, I'm just playing. They'll probably want to add. Obviously, they want to have more teams. They're not going to want to kick anybody out, obviously, but unless they want to leave. But yeah, man. I mean, the opportunity is there. The money and the revenue is there, obviously. And so they're trying to explore these options, and we'll see what happens going forward. I obviously don't see this happening. It's probably going to take a few years for it to happen. Maybe next 2 years or so, if they do indeed do this. But we'll see what happens, man, and we'll see how everything unfolds. But hey, that's all I have for y'all, man. I appreciate everybody again joining the broadcast and giving me a little bit of your time, man, to talk that good, healthy sports talk. Keep rocking with me, man. I'll be back to give y'all some more sports talk on the next one. Hey, peace, blessings, love. And as always, Roll Tide.